sermon for the day is based on a reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. Thank you, God, for all the times you've been with us on all our journeys, keeping us safe until we reach our destinations. This year's Advent theme has been Advent is a Journey, and so we have looked at the journeys that took place over the past few weeks. First, there was the angel Gabriel's journey to see Mary and Zechariah. He told them astonishing messages of messiahs and miracles. Then there was Mary's journey to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who was also impossibly pregnant. And now, fresh from that journey, Mary begins another, although now it's several months later. Her time to deliver was drawing near. It seems like everything was pretty calm up to this time when Emperor Augustus's decree came out. Everybody has to be registered so we can figure out how much tax we can charge everyone and thus fill Rome's treasure chests. Greed and tyranny are the reasons for this decree, nothing else. The new registration was not designed to see how the emperor could help the people, building new roads, offering new ways of supporting the struggling people. No, this was all a power play to placate the emperor. The decree went out, so Mary and Joseph and many other people went up. What an ego boost for Augustus. He made an order and see how all the people jumped to comply with it. Even a man whose wife was on the verge of giving birth, he knew he'd better go register or else. Joseph dared not defy the ruler's demand, even though he would have had a legitimate excuse to stay home, his very pregnant fiancée. You're not supposed to travel any long distance in the last stages of pregnancy, and definitely not on a donkey for 60 bloody miles. Part of our Christmas lore has ingrained in our minds the idea that Mary and Joseph traveled to Bethlehem alone, with Mary enduring the lurching discomfort of riding a donkey that Joseph led as he went on foot the whole way. Even today's graphic picks up on that notion. And we further add to the legend that Mary and Joseph could only find a barn on the outskirts of town in which she gave birth to Jesus. Legends and lore are important because they unite us and they give us some common ground to work from. But as we listen and learn more, we find maybe some of our notions about the journey to birth and Bethlehem, the journey to and the birth in Bethlehem, require rethinking. How irresponsible of Joseph to drag Mary along on this grueling trip. In all probability, he really didn't have to take her with him. He could have just vouched for her as his soon-to-be wife. He could have rushed up to Bethlehem, registered, and rushed back. He'd be gone a week, maybe, if he hurried. But perhaps there was a different motive for why Joseph brought Mary along. As uncomfortable as the journey would be, it was probably less comfortable for her to stay behind in Nazareth by herself. It was a small village. Everybody knew, or at least they thought they knew. Mary and Joseph weren't yet officially married, and here she was, great with child. Oh, the gossip and the gloating that must have been going on all the past few months. People probably didn't believe Mary's story about being visited by an angel and being impregnated by the Holy Spirit. To their minds, she was a girl who'd fooled around, cheated on her fiancé, and got pregnant. What a trooper Joseph was to take her in and stay engaged to her. Other people probably didn't know about the angel, Gabriel again, that had visited Joseph too, telling him to go ahead and marry Mary because she was telling the truth. She was indeed carrying God's son. People in Nazareth probably thought, she's a liar and he's a sucker. They deserve each other. And so the vibe in the village was less than welcoming and supportive of the couple. Joseph didn't want to leave Mary behind to face by herself all the hostility. It surely would be worse if he wasn't around to deflect it. She didn't need that kind of hassle as she waited to give birth. It was probably safer for them to take their chances on the road rather than leave Mary behind to endure the scorn and derision of the villagers without Joseph to stand up for her and protect her. Also, she had to go to Bethlehem because Bethlehem was the place where the Messiah had to be born. Whether or not Mary and Joseph knew of the prophecy given by the prophet Micah 700 years later, the one that said, "But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me, for God, one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days." Whether or not they knew this, their lives were now caught up wonderfully in God's plan to send the world a Savior. This was their destiny. And the prophecy also implicitly implies Mary as it continues and says, "Therefore, he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel." Mary's labor and Jesus' birth had to happen at Bethlehem and nowhere else. Nothing could happen until Mary gave birth to the Messiah in Bethlehem. So if this was the way God would make it happen, using Emperor Augustus's ego to send Joseph and Mary to the little town of Bethlehem, so it would be. Probably Augustus was thinking he was all that, able to set out an edict and have everyone scrambling to obey. But we laugh at him because we know he was just a bit player in this drama of which God was the loving playwright. The real August one, the only one worthy of divine favor and human adulation, the real Savior, was about to be born, and he would soon overtake the fake Augustus, the fake Savior. People enthralled to the emperor were compelled to proclaim Caesar is Lord, but the real Lord, the real King, was about to come into the world. Another piece of the birth narrative that we cling to, as I said, is that Joseph and Mary traveled alone. I'm not quite sure about that. There had to be other people in Nazareth who had to go to Bethlehem to be registered too. The decree was all the world, which most generally meant every able-bodied male from a certain age and up. Why wouldn't all the men in Nazareth who had to go to Bethlehem gather and make plans to travel together? There's safety in numbers. There were probably many marauders out at that time that waited for lone travelers to come by on the road so they could rob them or even kill them. And especially if the riffraff knew people were going up to Bethlehem to pay their taxes, they'd surely be on the lookout for opportunities to steal from these people on their journey. Can you really imagine a sensible person? And Joseph always strikes me as being a sensible person, saying, "Yeah, it's a dangerous trip. We could get robbed or even murdered, but I'll just load my pregnant fiance on a donkey and go. I'm sure we'll be fine." I am sure God would have protected them, but I'm also sure God would not want them to take foolish chances. If they had the opportunity to travel with some other villagers, or perhaps if there was a caravan of people from other cities south of Jerusalem coming by Nazareth on their way to Bethlehem, logic would dictate that Mary and Joseph would join them. Maybe they didn't want to travel with other people from Nazareth because they continued to be snide and aloof and snicker at their predicament. But maybe people who didn't know the gossip and the story would be more welcoming and supportive of them on the journey. Other women in the caravan would have reached out to Mary, making sure she was doing okay. They would have been warm companions for the young girl, who was surely worried about what it would be like to go into labor and give birth, things she had never experienced before. These other women would have comforted her with stories of their own pregnancies and births, or maybe not. Sometimes people seem especially gleeful to share gory stories, which only would increase Mary's anxiety. But yes, let's imagine Mary and Joseph didn't journey alone, and let's give thanks to all those who went with them to encourage and support the couple and make sure they got to Bethlehem safely. They helped put all the trauma and drama behind them. Well, there was drama enough ahead of them. And the third piece of the narrative birth we cling to is this notion about the out-of-the-way barn that Mary and Joseph fortunately found. You know, someone who spent time in barns when I worked with racehorses, I can honestly say a nighttime barn is kind of cozy. The horses are all asleep, either stretched out on the soft hay or curled up with their legs tucked under them. And sometimes they snore, and sometimes they dream of racing, their legs twitching in their sleep, and their breath shortening as it would when they're running. The barn is also warm because of the horse's body heat. There's little light so as not to disturb the animals. It all invites anyone walking in the barn to be quiet and tiptoe around as you peek in the stalls to check on the horses. The current consensus is that Mary and Joseph were not in a barn, but something called a cataluma. Houses in those days were built with an upper level where people lived and a lower level where animals were kept. There was often a guest room, but apparently someone else had already claimed it before Mary and Joseph arrived in Bethlehem. It was just as well. In the cataluma, Mary and Joseph had some privacy. For Mary, it was a place of refuge where she could labor without worrying about disturbing other people, where she could moan and scream if she needed to. She and Joseph would not be in the middle of the hustle and bustle going on upstairs, people coming in and going out, people cooking and eating and drinking, people poking around and peeking in the room and saying things like, "Haven't you had that baby yet? What's taking you so long?" If they were at a relative's house, as some people believe, perhaps some of the women living upstairs came downstairs to help Mary. Do we picture angels descending from heaven and drawing the baby Jesus painlessly from Mary's body? All scripture indicates that Jesus was born just as everyone else is, and that's part of what makes us love him so, knowing that he has experienced some of the same things we've experienced in our own lives, love, loss, sadness, joy, and even birth. Am I messing with the narrative, changing the story too much for you? I'm just imagining how else things could have been, inviting you to do the same. It's fun to try to fill in the parts that the gospel writers Matthew and Luke left out. I certainly would never fudge or forget the important points, the angel and his message, Mary's willingness and openness to have this great adventure in her life, the birth in Bethlehem. One of the things we learn from all the Advent stories is that God does mighty and mysterious things that we cannot always explain. As Gabriel said to Mary, nothing is impossible for God. In all our journeys, we need to remember that, especially when we think we're lost and forsaken and forgotten. When we come to a fork in the road, we take it, as Yogi Berra said. Really, we just give the choice up to God and ask God which road we should choose. When we find obstacles in front of us blocking our way, we need to remember nothing is impossible for God. There is nothing to stop you from going to the place where God wants you to be born, in a barn, in a cataluma, in a boat raging on the sea, at the foot of a cross on a skull-shaped hill. God will be with you on your journey, just as God was ever and always with Jesus on his, from his birth to his death, to his resurrection and his return. Let us pray. God, as we imagine ourselves journeying with Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem, as we continue to make our way along our own faithful paths, send us strength and comfort for the difficulties that lie ahead. As you provided space and a place for your son to be born, so also provide a place and a space for us to learn more about you, so we can be more trusting of your plans to make this world turn round right. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Shone the moon that night, though the cross was cruel. Master's steps he trod, where the snow